But in the House, Reverend Byron Alston.
How you doing?
And the community knows preventing violence in trying to, like Jeremiah, like Ezekiel, like the prophets of old, saying that we have to come to grips with and we have to reduce the level of violence. We're not Chicago. Right. Thank God. We're not Philadelphia. We're not New York City, even though New York City has made great strides at reducing violence in the neighborhoods. And even though the homicide rate, the number of homicides this year is down from last year and I think the year before last, aggravated assault is up, and that wounds people, that harms people, that hurts families. And there's going to be a march, Reverend Byron Alston, as I understand it, on Saturday. What's happening?
Yes, sir. Mothers Against Violence contacted Bishop Horatio Lester and myself and asked us, could we help them with a march in the community where a couple mothers' sons was gunned down over off of 30th Street off of College. Mm-hmm. And so we've planned for the last 2 months of March. It's going to start Saturday at 11 a.m. on 28th and Broadway at Broadway United Methodist Church. Go down to 33rd and Broadway where one mother's son was killed and left on the telephone pole. Another mother who was on her way to join us, her son was murdered. What was actually happening, Amos, is we've went to mothers and told mothers, people need to hear from them that enough is enough, that funerals are not cheap. Ain't nobody got $10,000 laying around just to bury somebody.
Right.
And so I think if the community, our community, and our young brothers hear from mothers to say how much it's hurt them and affected their family, then maybe we can reduce violence in a different way, too. So I think every angle of this violence, we have to come at it every way. Mothers being hurt. We had another young man that was gunned down that was 17. His little sister's 9 years old, and I had her speak about the violence to a bunch of brothers, and everybody in there was in tears because she missed her big brother. And that's all she knew was her big brother. So, and matter of fact, we brought her in on your show that day.
Yeah,
remember, you told
me
she does such a good job. We just had a rest in peace thing for him last Saturday at the bowling alley. And, you know, she spoke to brothers and was telling them how much she missed her brother. So I think with these mothers coming together saying enough is enough, maybe we can do something in our community. Maybe we can get some of the preachers to come out and step away from in back of the pulpit and come out and join us Saturday at 11 at Broadway United Methodist Church with some of those mothers and do what the Bible tells us to do, reach out.
Let me ask, because you're out there in the streets, you got your ear to the ground. In terms of the level of violence this year, it's been unusual because we had a warmer than normal winter. You know, crime was jumping, you know, during the winter months when it usually doesn't. At the same time, because of the Super Bowl, and I think because people had, even the criminal element in the community, had enough good sense to know too much law, too much federal heat down there. So downtown was virtually crime-free. Then all of a sudden the crime downtown just goes off the hook to where, you know, the level of crime downtown, which is supposed to be the safest neighborhood in the city, violent crime is up 35.5% year to date compared to last year downtown. That's just ridiculous.
Well, I think, like you said, Super Bowl, a lot of people stayed away from the Super Bowl from downtown, but now you got a lot of people coming downtown, hanging out, doing a couple, you know, doing things and not understanding how bad the situation can actually be. So I think what we're trying to do, what we've been trying to do, is to get parents to see how they can help. See, everybody can help this thing. Like last weekend we were down there, it was young men and young kids down there, 12 years old at 11 o'clock at night, cussing like they was sailors. You know, but some, and it's our kids.
I've heard some rumblings that some members of the City County Council on the Democratic side are looking at is there a way to modify the curfew rules and maybe put a tighter curfew in the downtown area? You're down there. Would that have any effect, or does IMPD need to do every weekend what they do during Expo and the Classic, and that's enforce the law?
Well, I will say this. IMPD has done a terrific job of being downtown with us. They have joined us. And I can say IMPD has done a terrific job in trying to help with the problem. But the curfew laws are so...
mealy mouth?
Yeah, that you really can't get, you know, something done. So, matter of fact, we was at a meeting the other day, and I said, well, let's do this. When they're down there that young and causing a problem, let's take them to some church somewhere, have the parents come and get them. When the parents have to come and get them, put something on the parents so the parents actually become responsible.
Are these kids coming from the mall, or are they not even going in the mall?
Most of them ain't even touching the mall. They just walking around downtown cussing, pushing people. I mean, just stupid stuff.
But is part of that because the city, and this goes back to Steve Goldsmith's administration,
right,
has had this, let me carefully choose my words, a hatred of allowing any under 21 event, black or white, to exist in this city.
True.
I mean, I'm even thinking that if Father, over at St. Rita.
Used to be
that,
Father Kelly.
Yeah, that if Father Kelly were living, they'd shut him down. And all of those entertainment and those dances that he did,
yes,
for young kids back in the day,
right,
that this city administration, I even think, because he was around with Goldsmith, and I think the Goldsmith administration kind of tolerated Father Kelly because they kind of knew where he was coming from and what he was about.
Right. He was in the Bill Hutton that days.
Yeah, the Bill. But I think the environment today is, you know, priest, no priest, they'd shut him flat down.
I actually don't think it's maybe the administration. I think it's the powers to be all over, mm-hmm, are saying that, young people need to stay at home. Young people need to do this,
they don't have their young people stay at home.
Right.
They're out at what is it, Hamilton Crossing.
That's right.
They're all up in Castleton. They all down up
right.
into Greenwood. So why is it acceptable for Greenwood, Hamilton Crossing, and Castleton, and even that one at 86th and Township Line Road, and it's unacceptable downtown?
That's so true. I just think we need to get together and come together and figure out how do we make a mechanism that young people can have somewhere that's responsible that they could go to and actually be able to have fun. Because if you don't let them have fun, they're going to try to make fun by any means necessary.
This is a mom's march, and I don't want to disrespect the mom that is here in our studio, a working mom. So she had to, she had to come from work, and she's rushing, and I want to make sure she can get back to work so that the boss man don't have nothing. Hi, welcome. You
Hi.
Are?
My name is Sharon Denson.
Okay, Sharon. And why are y'all doing this?
We're doing this because we feel that education is the key.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to get out, let the people know, understand that we need to stop this violence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, violence is just out of control, and we have to have an awareness. And education and letting people understand that it doesn't have to go on in our communities.
Now, you've had this affect you firsthand.
Yes, I have. My son was killed December the 16th, 2011, by an 18-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to rob. It was we don't know yet about a drug dealer. However, but anyway, he was trying to rob me. My son shot the guy, and the guy shot him. However, my son did not live. The guy was 18 years old,
mm,
you know. So he's saying that my son was walking down the street, and my son just shot him for no good reason. However, and my plight, and also as far as the education is, we were not even told. The police, the detectives, nobody even had the decency to call and let us know that my son was dead. We didn't find out till the next day. By someone, one of his buddies calling and saying that he'd been shot. So we're thinking that it just happened, you know, and here he laid in the morgue a whole day. He did live for a while, but we never were notified.
They found no identification on him? Was that the problem?
Well, that's what they told me, but however, he did have $400 in his wallet, but they found the money. But they did not see that he had a gun permit, he had a voter registration card,
mm-hmm,
he had ID, and he had my business card, his sister's business card. You know, she's a barber. And so, therefore, what were you looking for? Why couldn't you find him? Also, they did a hand fingerprinting,
yeah,
to identify who he was. On that information is my name addresses, anything. So what's the problem? Why didn't you try to contact us?
Byron Olson, this isn't the first time that I've heard of that lateness of notification. I've even heard of families of deceased hearing about their deceased through the media before they hear about it from law enforcement, which is totally an unacceptable breach. Is this something when we talk about how violence affects families?
Right.
Not only communicating to young people, you know, their parents, their grandparents, that this has to stop, also communicating to officialdom that the sensitivity also has to be there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, yes. And I think I can't say for sure, but I know Chaplain Cody now, who's with IMPD and some more chaplains, they've increased the chaplaincy where they could have chaplains go out and notify, parents about, a deceased.
So the response piece is getting better?
Yes, because I was at the incident on Allisonville Road, and the chaplain had to leave. He said, well, I need to go notify, this lady's husband and let her know that she's deceased. But I think it's got better now.
239-1310, 239-1310 is afternoon's name. It is a march, a kind of mother's march that'll march through the Mapleton Fall Creek area this Saturday, 11 o'clock. Be over at Broadway United Methodist Church, which is at Fall Creek. And what's that? Fall Creek and Park.
And Broadway.
Fall Creek and Broadway. Right Fall Creek them. Fall Creek and Broadway. They're going to go down 29th and Park over to 33rd and Park. Violence is the problem. It is not the solution. Let me go to the phones in Anonymous. Hi there.
Hey, Ames. How you doing?
I'm fine.
I could be wrong, but the way I said, we don't really have any programs to deter these kids from doing crime. And one idea that I have, and I know it won't never work, but when you come up to school, they come up with all these credits and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It would be nice to have these kids who have to go to a jail and spend jail for a weekend. But maybe like undercover cops, because I know you can't put them in with hardcore criminals.
Right.
But with undercover cops, and maybe they might see the fear that way. But right now, these kids, they just don't have any fear.
So it's sort of like scared straight for a credit. Byron Olson, you're out there with these young men and women. Is that workable?
At one time, we had that here under Sheriff Jack Cotty and Frank Anderson. And I think Sheriff Layton has a program called Think Something.
Mm-hmm.
But it works to a certain extent. But nowadays, you have to get kids at a very young age. Because once they get desensitized to being scared.
So this needs to be at the elementary level?
Yes, at the elementary level, where you can start showing them every choice you make has a consequences. That's just like this murder thing that we got going on. Every choice you make has a consequences. A young man don't know he's going downtown, and he might face 30 to 40 years for that murder and never be out. So you not only hurt one family, you hurt the family that lost their loved one, plus you didn't hurt your family, especially if you have a child. So we have had that program. I think more real talk programs will work more when we sit down and we talk about to the kids about what they're going through and come up with some solutions at that table.
Ms. Dunston, is it also, instead of wasting money on a cultural trail, wasting money on a bike lane that ain't a lot of people going to use, they could take that money and provide these kind of programs and activities that will try to turn, you may not be able to turn all kids to the straight and narrow, but if you can start getting 5, 10, 15, 20, that's 5, 10, 15, 20 more than you've gotten than we had before.
Yes, I really believe that. They spend money on the bike trails. Well, what about community centers? Yes, we know about the community centers, but most of our community centers can't last because of funding. And in the community centers, we can have education programs, have them to job trades and things. And a lot of the children and young adults, they are not in school. You can have some kind of school program. And you just teach them and educate them about the streets and what it is to become a positive young adult.
Let me go to Terrain at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi. I am a mother that lost a child in a car accident to a drunk driver in 2008. But I was notified from the hospital, called me, but two other children were lost, and one mother found out from the police, or the coroner's office contacting her. The other mother found out from children who had seen her son's vehicle on the news and called. And I also know Pastor Cody, and, you know, I think it's great that he's going out and ministering, but we really need to know, we really need to be able to contact all these other mothers and get some kind of group to support one another, because, I mean, you know, this has been a battle, and had not these other mothers and I stayed together and had the church that was there for me, then, you know, this was something that's hard to deal with, and for our families and other children that were left behind to deal with.
Well, I tell you what, first of all, Ms. Torain, I want you to hold on. I want you off the air to give Chris your name and a number where you can be reached during the day, and we'll give that to Ms. Dunston. And okay. And she'll, you know, get together with you. But she made, Ms. Dunston, a very, very good point. I know Legacy House does some things. They're supposed to be dealing with families and victims of violence. But, you know, we've got Mothers Against Drunk Driving, but we really don't have a support group of moms and grandmas and dads and granddads that have gone through this experience. Is that something you guys are trying to do?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I've been researching to see, and this is our starting this first year anniversary, which we're going to try to do and have an Indianapolis chapter, Mothers Against Gun Violence.
Ah, and there's an organization, Mothers Against Gun Violence.
Yes.
See, the things we learn on this program.
Exactly. They don't have one here in Indianapolis. However, they have it in New York and Milwaukee. So going to reach out and try to start that organization, as well as trying to get some community center or something going. But we are definitely reaching out to all mothers to start the Mothers Against Gun Violence in Indianapolis.
Thank you for that question, Mr. Rangels. Hold on, and Chris will get your information. Allow me to go to Lewis at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, Amy. Good afternoon to you, guest. You know, we could blame it on this administration, that administration, point out kids on the north side or downtown. The bottom line is we don't want to keep it real. The real truth is we got some poor excuses, pathetic excuses of parents out here that would rather have their kids as their buddies instead of being a parent to them. We didn't worry about no finances when we were kids. What we worried about is getting our butt whooped if we acted up. You know, it ain't about no centers out here. It's about doing what you're told. We need somebody in control with the attitude of the late Bernie Mac. That's you're going to get your butt whooped. No, we're going to throw it to the white meat stove. And now those lazy parents need to get the same thing done to them. It's a shame when they can give you to recite any rap song, but when you ask them what 2 + 2 is, they don't know it. And that's just the parent.
Byron Alston.
They need their butt whooped, and you don't need no centers. The best center you can get is in your home.
These parents are...
It's ridiculous that they get away with this here, man. Take away the benefits. If you don't want to do your job as a parent, the kid get taken away and housed up, because it ain't no sense in you not being able to walk downtown without these here little idiot punk kids interfering with what you're doing.
All right, Lewis, I got another call. Let me get Byron Alston. Before this degenerates into beat up the parents, how much responsibility is parents, but how much is it a larger responsibility? Because I think sometimes we get into these discussions and the easy emotional response is, it's all the parents' fault.
I think a lot of parents at times don't know what their kids are doing when they're away from them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's some of the kids' fault and some of the parents' fault. But what didn't happen, and I got to go to bat for the parents. Some parents are intimidated by the child police coming in and getting them, jamming them up for whooping their kids, because, you know, they didn't tell kids to call the police, and kids say, well, they done this and done that and done that, and you got to prove you didn't do it. You see what I'm saying? So a lot of the responsibility is on young people. Young people have to understand they have a responsibility in this thing.
Sharon Dunston?
What I have to say is I'm an old school parent. Call the police on me. However, my son that was killed was 34 years old, and the person that did it was 18. And I'm sorry, sir, but education, and, you know, you can blame the parent for a lot of things. However, once a child gets a certain age, they're gone. You know, they're an adult, and we're still responsible. What the Bible says, are we our brother's keeper? Yes, we are. So, you know, we all have to take responsibility in all of it.
Let me go to Denise at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Sharon. This is Ms. Amateur Richardson, and I just wanted to call and just encourage you. I think it's really absolutely wonderful that you raised your son to be a good person. And it's unfortunate that an 18-year-old has lied and also took your son's life. But I think I commend you for taking a stand. This is very difficult to do, but my family and I support you 100%. And, yes, it is the responsibility for the community to protect our children. And remember that old adage that said it takes a village to raise children?
Mm-hmm.
We have to get back to that.
Thank
Amen?
You. Thank
but
you.
I God bless you. We love you. Your best friends, my uncle, we love you very much, okay?
I appreciate that. Let me go to Bishop Luster at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, Bishop. Good afternoon, Amos. How are you?
We're fine. What's up?
Hey, you got it, man. How you doing, B?
How you doing, man?
Actually, in reality, Amos, I'm supposed to be down there, too. Unfortunately, something else carried me away. I wanted to comment on a variety of the callers that have called in because it's ironic to me to how so many of us, even in the community, we literally have an answer. We have a solution to our problem within ourselves. You can't blame it solely on the parents. You can't blame it solely on the police departments. You can't blame it solely on the churches or city government. It had to be a collective effort, especially in what we're facing within the 21st century generation. Also, I wanted to state that we have some magnificent programs here in the city. The young lady that's there, Sharon, I want to compliment her for sitting in the saddle today in her position. We do have an organization that actually I founded here a couple of years ago, and that is Mothers Against Violence. And one of the primary reasons why we founded the program was because as a minister and as a community activist, working even with Minister Austin, we come in contact all the time with mothers who have lost their children to vehement crimes. And oftentimes, they're never heard. No one is aware of the pain and the frustration that a mother has encountered, and not just the mother, but we put the emphasis on the mother because there's nothing that can replace a mother's love. But we deal with the aftermath of the death of a family. After the funeral is over with, after the people come together, the repast, the month later, the 3 months later, the 6 months later. So I feel like I received the concept from God, really, to have what's called an after effect, where after mothers have gone through what they've gone through, no one can identify with how a mother or a family feels like a family that has experienced the loss of a loved one. So we came up with the concept about Mothers Against Violence, and it's for more than just one reason. Yes, it is for mothers to be able to voice their opinion. Two, it is for mothers to come together and even to, you might say, buck legislations, because some of this stuff, some of these laws need to be changed about guns, gun carrying, about how people are approached and dealt with after vehement crimes of killings. Also, the fact that this is something extremely important. I found that mothers are not political.
Right.
They don't care if you're Democrat or Republican or liberal. All they know is that their baby was lost. So mothers began to really touch my heart because it wasn't a political thing. It was, listen, I hurt, and who can reach someone that's hurting better than someone that has experienced that hurt? They can become a better support mechanism for each other. This is the reason that we have birthed this. And, you know, we send out an SOS to any mother. We don't care who you are.
Right.
Come together and for you to be not just a part of this, but for you to run it so that the community, whether it's the mayor, the governor, the president, whoever, can hear your voice and hear your cry And as Sharon said, and so many others, so we're sick and tired of our babies getting killed unnecessarily.
All right, the march is this Saturday. That's day after tomorrow, 11 a.m. Broadway, United Methodist Church, 33rd and Broadway. Y'all know where that is, 33rd and Broadway. Be there. If you want more information, you want to volunteer, there's two numbers. There's let me give you the local number, 267-5920. That's the one on – is that the right one? No, don't use that number. Okay, what?
The one on the back.
The one on the back.
That I wrote on there.
Oh, call 413-7905, 413-7905, or 750-0444, 750-0444, or 413-7905. Sharon Dunstan, Byron Alston, guys, thanks very much for being with us. Glad to have you.
Thank you.